Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord and thankful. I'm not going to keep you long, probably an hour, hour and a half, and then we're going to go in the back for 2 hours and fellowship. It's going to be a good time. Amen. Right? Somebody's excited. Divine direction. You know the verse. You can just quote it with me if you know it. Do you remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We'll read it his way. Go back and let's read it in that. This is the version I like. It's the Amplified Bible. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make paths straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. That's pretty clear. God does this. Transitions happen. They happen in our own lives. They happen corporately. They happen in families. They happen in churches. And since the church is made up of one big happy family, from time to time, transitions happen. And we at Oak Grove have seen our share, right? And tonight we celebrate in the back. We celebrate with the Daniels family, and Natalie's parents are here. Let's welcome them, and her family is here, and Blake and Lily and Heather are here. We welcome them. They are here to say goodbye as well, and we love the farmer staff. We love them. You know, you just can't get rid of Oak Grove. It kind of gets on you. You can't get it off of you, and so transitions do happen, And it's important that you understand what level you're on. And I just want to ask you, are you willing to transition to the next level? That's a big question. You know, it's God who's doing the maneuvering. How many here tonight believe in sovereign God's maneuvering? He has a plan for your life, and so he plans life. And, you know, sometimes it's disheartening because you might have a plan. You might have a dream. You might have a timing planned out. And you see it this way, and then all of a sudden, things can be switched up real quick. He has one of those things like on the tracks. He just switches tracks, and all of a sudden, you know, you're going this way. You thought you were going that way. And that's why it's important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because we're talking about divine direction. We're not talking about just meandering and wandering around aimlessly without any direction. So I personally believe that God wants to take us all to a new level. And some people in following God almost have skid marks, you know, their heels, they dig it in, and God's trying to pull them and push them along. And I don't really think it's supposed to be that way. I think if God is in your transitions, he maneuvers and moves and removes obstacles and such as that. So are you willing to transition is the first question. And the second question is, do you know what season you're in? If you know who you are and you know what season you're in, we all go through seasons. There is a rhythm to life. How many has lived for God long enough to know there's a rhythm? And if you have no rhythm, you need to get some rhythm. You got to get some rhythm. Because you know what? If you don't dance with God, you know, the world will step all over your toes. Dancing with God. It's like dancing with God. And you got to know what season you're in. You got to know if he's moving you or transitioning you. And the Holy Spirit is your best friend. In my life transitions, we've had a few. It usually means change. And change means an opportunity for God to use my faith. Okay? It takes faith to be transitioned. And that doesn't matter whether you're leaving a location and going to another location. Or if you're leaving a sphere of influence or a level of leadership or a level of spiritual maturity and going to another level, it's still a transition. We naturally transition from child to young, you know, teenager at 13. You know, that's a weird place. It's a transition. Some people say they get brain damage, they lose their mind. But about 18, their brain comes back, right? Or you think they do. And then about 18, they have another transition, 18, 19, a graduation from college and young adult turning into single adult, maybe even looking for a spouse or a mate. And then they change from single into married. And it's like, Whoa. Quiet in here. But that's also a transition. So they happen. They happen inevitably. And sometimes, you forget what's going on and where you are. Webster calls transition passing from one condition or place to another. So it's passing. It's moving forward. And you've got to trust God with all your heart, right? And sometimes you can lean on your own thinking process and get confused in this process. How many's ever been confused in the middle of transition? A couple of people? Okay. It's Leslie's last service tonight. We get to say goodbye to her. We don't want to, but we will because God's maneuvering her life, right? And so we go with God. Somebody shout, go with God. We go with God. We let God lead our life. And sometimes I forget life is so seasonal unless it's a difficult season. Then I'm ready for that season to end. How many can find God when you're ready for that season to end? Please, Lord, intervene. And so I remind myself, this too shall pass. And the Word of God says, they shall go from strength to strength. Psalm 84:7. So even in our own personal spirit, man, we are moving. You ought to be. The maturation process ought to be happening. You ought to be willing to go from one strength or spiritual strength to another level, right? And you're always moving forward in your development of who you are in the Lord. So I believe in mentoring. I believe in taking young people and investing. Oak Grove, we know you believe in that. It's part of who we are, right? We are, and that's who we are. So sometimes God develops people within our body, like a Caleb and a Tori, who develop within our own body here, and God developed them, put them in ministry, and they're so attached to us, they move back one row. They're slowly transitioning, okay? They move from the right there to right there. I appreciate that, Caleb. I can still reach you. And so even tonight, they're transitioning in their life as well, with the Daniels and Abraham coming in and others maneuvering around. It's quite a bit this last month of transition. But we do know mentoring is good because it gives advice to young ministers, and you got to know your seasons as the people who are chosen of God. So there are seasons of receiving. There are seasons of serving and giving. Ministering, right? And even in your own lives. And we learn to recognize our seasons, and we're better prepared to cooperate with the plan of God and purpose of God. What happens then when we do not cooperate with the plan of God? It can get clunky, right? It can get pretty sticky if we don't cooperate. And so there are a lot of people who do not. But consider this. What if King David had not been willing to become the king of Israel? Hey, he had to go through a lot. Because remember, we say, new level. Oh, come on now. Maybe you don't remember. New level means new devil. Same devil, Miss Melissa said, after this past 6 months, of fighting the devil. You know what? It may be that God knew ahead of time. How many thinks God knows ahead of time? Not a maybe. God knows ahead of time what's going on. And sometimes you fight the enemy in warfare before there is what we call a breakthrough, right? It doesn't come without a price tag. And you pray, you fast, you seek God, and things begin to maneuver around. Sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't. But God is moving and shaking things. If he doesn't make you uncomfortable, sometimes you just stay in what we call the comfort zone, right? And that's why I like short-term missions. We love short-term missions. It was a short-term mission that messed up Abraham's life, right? 2 weeks ago over in Dominican, hey, Abraham, and here he is. And so that's pretty quick. You got to be ready for that kind of God speaking to you. And so if King David had not been willing, we may have had a whole different story. But I believe early on in King David's life, he had a mentor, Samuel. And Samuel came, and the word of the Lord came, and he anointed him with oil, right? And he said, you're going to be king. But did David, was he king the next day? Was he king the next week? No, there was a process of maturation for David. He had to go through some things. He had some devils chasing him, King Saul and others. his own sons. Lots of different wars and battles. He had to fight bears first. I mean, oh, you can't handle the lion until you tackle the bear. And then after the bear comes the lion, then after the lion comes the giant. And so it is progressive in that you are always moving. And mature Christians know that one day God's going to call them to next level, which brings us to the question earlier, are you ready? Are you ready for that next level? And so Timothy had enjoyed being mentored by the Apostle Paul so much that he couldn't himself go to the next level. But it was time, when it was time, in the fullness of time. Can I just tell you that timing has something to do with it? Who but God controls the timing and when it shall come forth? The Lord controls the timing. And so it's really tough because sometimes you can hear from God, you can feel it. I remember we were pastoring our first church, and I didn't know, you know, how do you know? And we can open it up. You can talk a little bit if you want to. But how does a young minister know when it's time to close this chapter and open up another one? So I called a mentor, my superintendent, Brother Cecil Janway. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man of God. Because I had no ministers in my family. I had, you know, Natalie's mother as children's pastor and learned a lot as mentor and mother and family in the ministry. But I had to seek out mentors and find people to speak into my life. And so I called Brother Janway, and he said this to me. I said, Pastor Janway, how do you know it's time to leave and go? I said, I'm feeling something, not sure what it is. And he gave some powerful advice. And this is divine direction. We're just trying to find our way with God, right? And listen, if you get lost, how many know God can find you? It's not like the end of the world if you're in this process. The Lord specializes in finding that which is lost. So I was just, it was early on. So I was calling, and he said, Pastor Ron, I'll tell you this. Don't worry about where you're going until you know God is done with where you are. I mean, no, that's some pretty good sound advice. So many times we want to get ahead of God, and we want to think about what we're doing next when God has something he's still doing in you now. So Joyce Myers has a line I love. She says, enjoy where you are on the way to where you're going. And that way, in every season of life, you don't miss a season because you're always wanting to be somewhere else. And that's why we're very excited at Oak Grove. We keep our staff a long time. They stay way above the average stay. I think it has a lot to do with you, Oak Grove, the way you love on them and the way you treat them and the way you value them and their ministry. And so, you know, how do you know when? I love Brother Trask was superintendent of the Assemblies of God for many years. And when he retired, he said, I would rather go when they're asking why and not when. I mean, there's a little wisdom there too. There's a little bit of wisdom there too. So many times, it may not be time yet. And so I believe that the Holy Spirit will help you in finding, discerning the right timing to go. And how can we know when the Holy Spirit wants to take us to a new level? You can feel. We know that Romans says in chapter 8, verse 14, for all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So you're the sons, you're the people of God, you're the children of God, and God, how many things God wants best in your life? He knows what's best, and he wants what's best. And so if we'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit, comfortable or uncomfortable, laughing, scratching, clawing, crying, you know, whatever, you need to obey the will and the voice of God. And early on, a lot of young people struggle with that. And I remember back in Bible school days, we were actually scared to make transition. Because we were scared to what? Miss the will of God. You better be in the perfect will of God. And so he's like, is this the perfect will of God? I hope so. I don't want to go anywhere. And so it brings fear. Can I tell you, if it's motivated by fear, probably not from God. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So that's not the right motivation for transition. So how are we led by God? How does God speak, and when do we know? Those are some big questions, and I think having a mentor and somebody to speak with through the process, as was with Natalie and Evan, they called Ohio to check with her youth pastor, who was a mentor, and just putting out some feelers, hey, you know, in a couple of years we want to have a baby, want to go back by the family, you know, stuff like that. Right now, a cat is suffice. We love our little kitty. A kitty litter is better than Pampers. We can afford the cat. And so down the road, though, we feel like God's going to, you know, you feel something, right? So she puts a feeler out. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. What do you think? There's nothing wrong with feeling it out. Because there's no, like, there's no audible voices. Sometimes I rarely hear of audible.
Ron.
You know, like Abraham. When I got to Dominican, I said,
Abraham, leave your family and your kindred and move to Springfield, Missouri.
His eyes got that big around. Are you for real? It's like, are you? And so, you know, Natalie puts this feeler out, and the pastor, her youth pastor, is now pastoring Rush Church in Ohio. They're in Youngstown, and their family in their hometown. Says, well, Natalie, we're making a transition in August. Our children's pastor is going back to school. And so, is that too soon? I'll call you back. So it's kind of scary. You know, you're stepping out by faith. And God, and you got to know, you got to trust that the Lord has you right there in the palm of his hands. And I can tell you from the transitions we've made, the Lord was with us. Without a resume, Chrissy was 3 months old. Tori was 3 years old. We resigned our church, and away we went. And I really, you know, Max, I was concerned about how we would probably eat next week. And so my custodian at the time asked me, Pastor, what are you guys going to do? I said, I don't really know. I have but one request of the Lord. Don't let me go one weekend without a place to belong. So we were going to be evangelists. We were just going to evangelize. And so the superintendent called and said, have you considered Rayville? It wasn't like, have you considered Rayville? What I said was, where in Carnations is Rayville? He said, well, it's over there near Monroe on I-20. I said, I have not so much as thought of Rayville. But that's transition, see? God has networking and connecting, and he feels like, my superintendent feels like I might be a good fit there. And so I'm like, well, I don't really want to be a candidate. If you've ever been in the process of ministerial transition, it's not fun. All of this candidate business is like American Idol. You know, who'll give me a 10 out there? Anybody? Please, my kids want to eat. And so, you know, you're like on trial and you're wondering what God is going to do, because it is somewhat of an electoral process. You know, you got to go through this protocol and a process, and so it's kind of scary. For a pastor in selecting staff, listen the way this is. As we interview staff, we are like dating staff for you guys to marry them. Because it's one thing for Melissa and I to have chemistry, right? It's one thing for a pastor to have chemistry with who he's working with. It's another thing for them to have chemistry with you. And that's why I congratulate you. Give yourselves a big hand. You have a lot of love, and you help us. Go ahead and do it. You love people. It's easy for you. Some churches just don't transition that easily. So it's good to have somebody helping you. Well, to make that long story short, the very following weekend after our resignation, the next Sunday, they asked us to be the pastor at Rayville. And so my custodian called me from the last church, and he said, Pastor, do you remember what your prayer was? I said, what? He said, you asked the Lord to not let you go one weekend without a place to be. And we spent almost 8 wonderful years in North Louisiana, and God knows. It was wild because the church we left was 250, 280. And the church we took was 30 people. So you can't always understand by numbers and listen to something else. Money's not always the factor. Sometimes young people in ministry, there are different levels that you go to. You think about promotions. Can I tell you, if that promotion on your job, if that next level is bad on your family and marriage, it may not be God. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure some of this out. So you got to pray through. How's this going to be affecting my children? How's this going to be affecting my family? How's this going to be affecting my marriage and my life? Does anybody here tonight feel like God cares about you personally? No, seriously, when you come into transition, how many thinks that God, let me see your hand, you think God cares about your personal, yeah, absolutely he does. But somehow in the past, we used to feel like, you know, we should all suffer. It's God's will that all of you suffer like I suffered. And so it's a new day. It's not always like that. So the Holy Spirit is in charge. He shows us how he wants to move us, and it's not by our personal feelings. And I always wonder why, you know, this and that, but God is always, always there to help us. So I want to turn it back over to you for just a few minutes before we pray for Natalie and them. Any questions concerning transition, whether it's personal maturation in your spirit, man, a promotion on your job, transitioning from one level of life to another? What are some of the questions that you would have tonight? I don't plan to give you all the answers. Maybe somebody else here tonight has better answers. But we got 15 minutes before we go in the back and have fellowship. What is it that you think, is there any question at all about trans? Yes, ma'am, Nikki. Yeah, go ahead. Everybody can hear you better.
Oh, okay. How did you get over the mindset that you said that you kind of had in Bible school of the transition of, you know, making sure you're still aligned with the perfect will of God? Because I was a Bible college student myself, and so I know that that's kind of this fear, and that's something that's been going through my mind is, okay, God, am I in obedience with you? Am I walking the path that you have me on? So where was that transition in your life where you didn't have such a fear of this?
That's a great, excellent question, Nikki. And I think because of the past, in the Bible school, teaching a perfect will of God, and if you get out, you're going to mess up your whole life. Somewhere, somebody introduced me to the permissive will of God. So that God is for me. God's for me, the minister. It's not like he's got a ball and chain trying to see how hard he can make my life. And then even better than the permissive will of God, which is allowing a little room, wiggle room, then somebody talked to me about the playground will of God, the playground will of God. And I had never heard about that. But this is the way I explain the playground will of God. If a father takes a child to the playground, they it's a fun day. I mean, when you go to the playground, you don't want to sling them off the merry-go-round and bust their head on the swings. It's not a bad day. If you do, we need counseling, okay? So it's a good day. The father's taking the kid to the playground. Come on, Johnny. We're going to go. So they get into the playground, and there's lots of options in the playground. But there's one thing the father does. The father closes the gate and says, now, Johnny, listen. Anything you want to play with in this playground called ministry is okay with me. I've called you, and I've got you back. Just do not go out this door. Does that sound like the Garden of Eden? Lots of options. You can eat of any tree of the garden. Just don't eat that one. So it's a safe place. The Father is there. The presence of the Father is there. And he's got your best interest at heart. And his eyes are on you. How many thinks the Lord's eyes are always on you? He's got you back. But you can go. So the Father doesn't make it. Now, Johnny, you do the swings first. All right, now that's enough of the swings. Get over here now. You seesaw. One time on the seesaw, Johnny, and that's it. It's not like that. It's a little bit of you maneuvering in the plan of God. It's not like the fivefold ministry gifts. I think God is going to kind of put your gifts will make room for you. They kind of make room for you, right? So like if I'm not a singer, the Lord's not going to say, you're going on tour, buddy. Fake it till you make it. So like, okay, you know, he's not going to make me do that. It's a little more like a partnership, like a father-son kind of thing. Who's snorting? Okay, that's great. Father-son partnership. And so, and so, So he allows you to maneuver. Does that help a little bit? So that Johnny goes play the merry-go-round. If he feels like getting off, he goes on the seesaw. And if he swings a little while, and then he's in the playground. So that means that the calling, there's only one calling. Only one. So when you're in transition, talking about ministry, there's one calling. But there could be many assignments. And I know, because when I was pastoring and God said for my family to go to missions, to Convoy of Hope, I started to get a little bit confused. Said, now, Lord, you gave me a pastor's heart, and now I'm a little bit confused. I mean, what will I do? You got to trust the Lord. He gives you a little reins. It's kind of like a parent who knows when to give their children a little bit of reins. Right? You give your children a little bit of freedom. You know, otherwise, they will never know how to stretch and go to another level. So God allows you to partner with him in this playground will of God. And I think that I just want to use one illustration and we'll go on. But when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, that was when he began his ministry, transition. And the voice from heaven, first the heavens opened, a voice said what? Come on, say it out real loud. This is my beloved son in whom I am. God is pleased. Period. All the value that Jesus needed came from the pleasing Father. He pleased the Father. He pleased the Father because he was obedient, even unto death, even death on the cross. I got to tell you tonight that the crucifixion, Calvary, was the will of God for Jesus Christ. Oh, Pastor, how can you say that? Because I wouldn't be saved today if it wasn't. He came to save, right? He didn't come to condemn. He came to save the world. All right, so for Paul, the will of God for Paul, he left for dead. He was put in prison. There's a lot of things, okay? So, yes, ma'am.
I think a lot of times where we get in trouble is we have our own ambitions and we have our own dreams. And that starts young, really. And so it's important for young couples to make sure that you mold your children from when they're little. You know, because we do that. We're like, you can be anything you want to be when you grow up. You know, whatever you want, the sky's the limit. All that's true. But you have to teach them that you can do whatever God wants you to do in his will and his plan. So I think it's important from the time that your kids are little to let them know that God has a plan for them, and they can do what they want with their own life, or they can do what God wants with their life, because there is two plans, you know, and it is up to you to surrender to his. So you can do what you want. You know, I think a lot of times people get disappointed because they do kind of have, from a childhood on up, they envision what their life's going to turn out like. And when they serve God, and he has a different idea and a different plan, it doesn't turn out and look like that. But that's because that was the flesh, right? So you have got to push the flesh aside in your own desires and your own plan and everything you want to submit to his plan. And so what does that look like when you submit to his plan? And I see that a lot, where people, they're living halfway in their own life, in their own plan, and then they get to a point where they're ready to surrender all the way with God, and they have such a hard time letting go of that. But that is still flesh. That is not of God or of the Spirit. And it came from that childhood, from those young years, or however old you are. So it's better to not have that. To raise your kids to just say, in the will of God, you know? So, do you see what I mean?
In fact, the frustration comes if God switches tracks. Let's say you were called to be a teacher or a doctor. And all of a sudden now, the Lord wants you to pursue something else, another vocation. Missionary, or let's say it's not even ministry. Let's say it's a dental hygienist, to whoever cares, right? The calling is the main thing. God calls people to do different things, okay? So you got to settle the calling in your life. If it's a calling of vocation, then it's okay. There's some room in there. You understand what I'm saying, Nikki? There's room in there for you and God to maneuver. As long as you settle the issue in your spirit, this is what God has called me to do, then you pursue without frustration. Okay? But when your dreams and all that become crushed because you're switching tracks, it's easy. I know I did a lot of carpet time because I thought I was supposed to be a pastor and he's bringing me to Springfield. But do you know what I realize now? And Nancy, I'm going to come back to you. I realize now the only way I could be at Oak Grove was to first go to Convoy of Hope. I don't know if I'd really been able to say, you know, to break the heart of that congregation by cheating on them and going to marry another congregation. God knows my heart. And so he brought me over there so I didn't have to tell them I chose another person over you. So God was good. He knows me. How many know that God knows you? So he'll send you all the way over here to get you to do that. All right, whatever. Got to cooperate with God. That's how I know, Nikki, is I got a little bit of room there. And even if I get confused along the way, the Lord will bring me around. How many know the Lord will bring you around? It's like he's saying, oh, you're a missionary. I can't believe it. I wanted you to be a pastor. You knucklehead. You're over there winning people to Christ in the church. I wanted you to go across the ocean. I think the Father's pleased. I think the Lord is pleased. That's important. Yes?
I have a different perspective on the transitioning just in my job because I have a lot of students that work for me, a lot of students that are going into ministry, Evan and Natalie, and I have the perspective, I have 20 persons on my staff, 7 of them are not students, the rest of them, it'd be much easier for me if I didn't hire students.
Absolutely,
but I know,
I get that.
Yes, but I know God has a plan for their life.
Absolutely.
He has placed me here in this position to help them from point A. And I tell them when I'm hiring them, okay, I know this isn't your life calling. Nobody wants to do toilets all their life. But, but you know, we have to go from point A to point B. And right now, point A is where you're at. And I'll help you as you go to point B. Because I feel like I am feeding into their ministry.
Absolutely.
As I am feeding into their life. And then I'm getting blessing from God knowing what they're doing after they're gone. I've got kids on the mission field. I've got kids in the ministry. I've got kids teaching. They're my kids.
Absolutely.
And so from that point, but God always has somebody in place. My hardest position to fill is my assistant. I had a really, really awesome assistant, and then he left to go to ministry. I had another
is that
young.
Evan?
No, that's not Evan. I haven't got to Evan yet.
Okay.
This is a 2-year process
okay,
here. And then I had another young man come to me that stayed for about a year. He wasn't a minister. He wasn't going into the ministry. But he gave me a 2-week notice. That is not enough time to train anybody in this position. But Evan was there. I had God placed Evan there.
I believe it.
When we went to Kentucky. And I interviewed him down there. Never interviewed anybody in my life out of town. He hadn't even put in an application.
Well, Nancy, you think about this as you talk about their transition. If Evan and Natalie were not willing to meet me in Kentucky, they may not have met Nancy for him to be able to work as we put on the team, mm-hmm. them on the team with mm-hmm. us. So you got to be flexible. You got to be willing to move in and out and say yes. Somebody say yes.
Yes.
You got to learn how to say yes. Now, I know a lot of people will tell you today, learn how to say no. But you won't hear a lot of that, learn how to say no from Pastor Ron. Unless you're being abused and taken advantage of, you might go a little further. I mean, no, you can go a little further than you think. You can do a little bit more than you think. But today we're saying, no, you're taking from me. You're taking from me. You're taking my time. And there's some, especially ministers' wives, who hold the ministry resentful toward the ministry because they're taking my husband or they're taking my, and they're taking, nobody's taking nothing. You're giving it all. Right? So the Lord can have it all. And that's what I meant, Nancy, when I said, settle the call. When you lay it down, when you go to that altar and you lay it down, I'll never forget Miss Carol when she was transitioning from Convoy to come here. She said on the way back from Branson, she said, Pastor Ron, we knelt before the altar in 1982 and said, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And we'll never work secular work again. And she was heading back to the Hill to work in Washington, D.C. And she said, "What's that, babe?" And that's how Jesus called the disciples. So we believe God calls vocational ministry, and he also calls other vocations. There is a calling. And in America today, in our culture today, people can change careers, up to three careers in one lifetime. Now, back 50 years ago, you had a career. You were born a doctor, you died a doctor, right? But today, you got Brad Bradshaw. Right? You got Brad Bradshaw. He's like a doctor, lawyer, homemaker, domestic engineer. He's like everything. He's everything. And so we wonder out why we're all stressed out. The point is, God calls. God calls. And that's where you get your value from. My value, Melissa's value, doesn't come from being positionally your pastor. It comes from being personally your pastor. We'd rather lead you by love than lead you by position. Because the next guy come along, he's the next positional leader. And that's not the people you want to follow. You want to follow people that you love, that you're in relationship with. So that's why it's going to be phenomenal at Rush Church with Pastor Jim. It's going to be phenomenal because there's already a relationship there. See? A mentor and lots of stuff. He was her youth pastor. Absolutely. And then Evan's got some connections. Family's already working some stuff out. Listen, they say this is the will of God. If you want to find a confirmation, I guarantee you, Mom and Dad tell you right now, this is the will of God. Any other questions? Any other comments before we pray? This is interesting stuff. But so many times in ministry, it's very secretive. It's very secretive because we're threatened by maybe losing our position. So Natalie comes to me and said, "Pastor, said, hey, this is what happened. I thought maybe it'd be a couple of years or a year and a half or whatever when we're ready, but the door opened." And so only the Lord opens doors, and only the Lord closes doors. Yes, sir. Got a microphone?
I apologize. I was going to say that as the young adult pastor, this question comes up all the time. I mean, as young adults are graduating out of college and they're looking at jobs and they're going, "I just don't know what to take." I think the number one advice that I usually give is to never force open a door. So if God has closed a door, you never push it open. Are you pushing for this job to happen, or is this job just happening kind of thing? And then also never to shut a door that's open. I mean, if God's opened up just one door and that door's there, whether you like it or not, maybe that's the way that God wants you to go. So it's not for you to shut that door. And if you have three doors open, then God's saying, "Hey, pick one.
Playground, right?
You know, whichever one you like, go for it, and I'll bless you through that." And that kind of takes a lot of the pressure off of it for young adults. I mean, it's not that there is only one door in every situation. That it may not be the door you want, but it's the door that's open.
Absolutely right. And if you want a spiritual grammar lesson from David, you know, David and he messed up. Hey, listen, you and I are not exempt from messing up. You can be going along your way and then trip up and fall. People fall. So David gets with Bathsheba and he messes up, right? As a result, though, the baby is dying. So the Bible says that David goes into his closet and he fasts and he prays and he doesn't eat. And he fasts and he prays and he doesn't eat. And all the servants came to the king and they said, "You've got to eat, you've got to eat." He said, no. He said, "As long as there's breath in that baby, there's hope that God can heal him." When the baby died, David went and washed himself, put on some fresh robes and went ate. And the servants were so taken back, they said, wait a minute, King David, we're kind of confused. I mean, when the baby was alive, you just fasting, praying. He said, "Well, when he died, you just went to eat and went into the temple?" He said, "Yes." And here's a lesson. Never put a comma where God puts a period. There's nothing David could do. He said, "I can't add one statue to that kid's life. It's over." Never put a comma where God puts a period. And the other lesson was, never put a period where God puts a comma. As long as that baby was alive, there was hope that God could maybe heal and change things. So he kept a pause there, comma. So your punctuation, that's your spiritual grammar lesson for today. Next week, we'll talk and teach you how to say choo-choo train, okay? But that is serious. And sometimes a punctuation is a question mark. And I would say pause and wait on the Lord. Amen? Amen. We'll go to Ron. Yes, sir. Rob.
You know, I work a lot with adult men and, you know, not necessarily going into ministry, but in secular jobs. And a lot of times they'll have a choice of a job over here that maybe has, when from the outset it looks like they're going to get $25 an hour and a company car and everything like this, and they're all excited. And then this job over here may not have that company car, maybe $15 an hour or $5 or what, or $12 an hour. And they're not quite that excited about it. And they come and say, which one do I choose? And usually my what I tell them is follow the peace.
Yes.
Because, you know, when you follow the peace, sometimes God will lead you toward that $12 an hour job. And you get in there and the employer says, wow, you're a lot more qualified than I thought. Here's more money and here's a company car. I've seen it happen over and over again.
And it allows God. It allows God to promote you and not self-promotion. Love that. I love that. Because some people, you know, we all strive to be supervisor. We want to be the supervisor. But there's a lot of stress in supervision. They're coming out of Bible school and say, hey, you better find out whether God wants you to be a pastor or not. It's not all it's not all what they paint it out to be. How many know there's some real stuff behind the door that you go through? And so don't ever look at somebody else's opportunity and say, boy, I wish I had that. You don't know what you wish for. Only say, the will of the Lord be done. Don't say, I'm going to do this. This is what James says, and the scripture gives us wisdom. Don't say, I'm going to go over here and do this or that. I'm going to go to that town and do this or that. Only say, the will of the Lord be done. And that's what we say. We're very, very proud of you. Proud of you and Tori, Caleb, as you have wrestled and struggled with that very same struggle, and settling it in your spirit. God has plans. He knows what he's doing. Abraham as well. And I did see a last hand. Last hand was, who was that back there had a hand? I hate to tell you. Who was it? You, Max? Oh, I thought you were pointing over there, Max. All right. Here, you need this? Yeah, I got to get my exercise.
I know an important thing is to have confirmation from the Word, and confirmation, like in our situation, was with spouse, you know, that I was thinking, well, maybe this is a plan of God, but I thought, well, it has to come from Cheryl, too. And we didn't talk about it. I just wanted to make Cheryl know that, you know, she was in line with it. And when she said yes, I thought, wow, that's it. And then the peace really came. And confirmation is so important because once you know that you know, when you lead on and things happen, the devil tries to trip you up, you know that this is where God led you and you can make it through.
Amen. Give the Lord praise, folks. That's some good word. Confirmation of a closest people to you. Mentors who can speak into your life and invest and help you make some connecting the dots. And the peace of God upon you. Other choices. Go by the door that's open. All these are great things. All these are great things. And it happens to all of us. And you know, there's other seasons. I wish I can tell you tonight, Oak Grove, I wish I can tell you that wherever you are, you're at the end of the road. I wish I can tell you in your career, in your life, that you never have to make another transition. But that is just not the truth, especially in ministry. There is hardly a lot of security in ministry. You're only one sermon away from success and failure. That's just about the truth. American Idol, you know, two. And if the pastor or the minister gets their value from what the vote is, man, you're going to be schizophrenic for sure. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. And so we're done. I have a feeling that the fivefold ministry gifts, speaking of ministry themselves, I feel like they, by the Holy Spirit, dovetail. Because every pastor does some teaching. Every teacher does some ministering, right? Serving. And so they kind of all gel together. So let's go in the back and have fellowship. I want to have Abraham come, and I want you to come, Zena. I want to come, Evan and Natalie, and Caleb and Tori. Leslie, you want to come? You can join us up here. And who else is making transition? Clay and Rachel are transitioning from youth over to young adults. I mean, what we did is we took our staff, threw them all up in the air, and said, Lord, you can have them all. And when they land, maybe you'll put them where they belong. And just so happened that one of them is going to Ohio. One family is going to Ohio. So it's really a unique thing. It really is a unique thing that you have this much transition and only one being launched, that this many people stay. That's very, very unusual. So I appreciate the staff. Would you stand with me tonight? And I want you to come. Come on, give God praise for all of them. Is there anybody up? Not here. Gary and Joni. Is Joni here? She's in the nursery. Probably in the back. Oh, she went to Men's Encounter to pick up her husband. They're almost here. Okay. Well, let's just wait 30 more minutes. No, I'm teasing. We'll go in the back. Natalie, I tell you, you and Evan have been a blessing to us. You know you have. And she spoke at the staff meeting and shared her heart. It was whatever she could speak. It was a little bit. She got a little bit out. But do you feel like you have something you would like to try to say? All right.
I mean, we've said this time and time again, but just thank you. We are so grateful for what God has done these past 3 years. And you guys have been such a family to us. It's so hard to be away from family, and you guys were definitely a home away from home. And you will always have a place in our heart. So thank you for pouring into us and allowing us to minister here. So you guys were such a blessing, and please keep praying. We'll be praying for you, and we hope you keep praying for us. But God has great things in store for Oak Grove, and we're excited just to hear what God's going to do in your guys' life. So thank you again. It's been such a privilege.
Amen. Amen. You want to say something, Bubba? Okay. Oh, you can't follow up? I can't follow up after that. Evan, let me tell you. Incredible ministry partner in ministry and providing for the family and moving in the will of God. As God has also have a call on his life. He didn't come to CBC in vain. He came in the will of God, and there is plans for you as well in Ohio, and the church is going to be a blessing. The pastor's already speaking to him about ministries that are on his heart, and they're going to be great partners in ministry. Zena, you and y'all want to say something? Johnny is up here. Help me welcome Johnny to the team. As Ethan, can you come down? Is that possible? All right, real quickly.
I would like to thank everybody because you really made me feel like y'all are going to take care of Abraham. I know he's in God's hands, but you all were very loving to me. I know that you all are going to love him. And I know that this is God's will because he's given me peace. And Abraham is my only child. So you might see me every once in a while because I might not.
Abraham, pass it on down. Oh, you don't want to say nothing? Okay. He said his piece this morning.
Oh, what? Is we all say?
All right, that's fine. Well, keep on going. Okay. All right. Hey, you know what? They're going to have to warm up to us, I guess. It's scary up here. Why don't you come and let us pray together, and then we'll go back and have fellowship. I thank God that he moved people in and out, and we just let him do his business. The Father knows what's best. Some of you may be in transition, or you're wondering what the will of God is. You can certainly join us up here. It's the Lord who orders our steps. It's the Lord who orders our steps. Hallelujah, hallelujah.